Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. My name is Suzanne Gernand, and my pronouns are she and her. I serve on the board of Prairie, the treasurer, and I'm also a member of the finance committee. Been coming to Prairie for almost 4 years now. If this is your first time here, or your 101st time, we are glad you are here. If you carry the weight of a weary world on your shoulders, or you entered through the doors with a song in your heart and a skip in your step, we are glad you are here. If you are the loudest voice in the town square, or the subtle hand behind the scenes, we are glad you are here. If you sing like angels or mumble behind the hymnal, we are glad you are here. This community is what it is because of your presence. So welcome. Welcome into this space of love, support, justice, companionship, compassion, and fellowship. We are glad you are here. We have a few announcements today. The Bylaws Committee is having two meetings. The first one is Sunday, today, after service, in person, in the meeting hall. The second one will be Wednesday, October 12th, at 7 p.m. on Zoom. Please consider attending if you are able. Reverend Matt is coordinating several meetings, both in person and virtual, about Prairie's mission and vision. Please see Prairie's calendar for meeting dates. RSVP to Reverend Matt if you are interested. October 12th through 16, 2022 is UU the Vote Weekend of Action with Wisconsin partners. UUs across America have all eyes on Wisconsin with VIP special guests, national and statewide events via Zoom, and local actions at every Wisconsin UU congregation. Please see more information on www.wuusan.org for how you can help. Prairie has beautiful spaces to rent, and members receive a discounted rental rate. Please fill out the rental request form on the Prairie website if you are interested. This coming Sunday, we will hear from our Widening the Circle team, made up of Prairie members and friends. Now we will have the chalice lighting, and it will be read by Katrina.
Good morning. We light the chalice of our living tradition with these words: to face the world's shadows, a chalice of light. To face the world's coldness, a chalice of warmth. To face the world's terrors, a chalice of courage. To face the world's turmoil, a chalice of peace. May its glow fill our spirits, our hearts, and our lives.
Our opening music is SLT number 131, Love Will Guide Us, accompanied by Amber. The gray hymnals are under the seats. Please stand as you are able.
Now hold the guide, O Lord.
It's now time for our story for all ages. Many Shapes of Clay, a story of healing by Kenesha Sneed. And it will be read by Alice. We welcome adults as well as kids to come forward so that they can get a good view of the pictures while we listen to our story. After the story, we will sing our youth out, and the lyrics are in the OOS, Order of Service.
All right. So it's called Many Shapes of Clay, A Story of Healing. This is Isha. You say it like Isha. And this is her cat, who loves to take long naps. This is Isha's mama. She works in a small studio inside of the basement of their apartment where she makes shapes from clay. Tall shapes, small shapes, even bumpy, colorful shapes. Isha asks her mama why she doesn't play with the shapes. Why do you leave them on the shelves? It takes so much time and patience to make each shape, her mama explains. They are too fragile to play with. Mama slices off a chunk of clay like butter, then rolls it into a ball-like dough and hands it to Isha. Isha stretches and smooths and rolls the cool clay in her hands. She doesn't know what she'll make today. Maybe I'll make a two-headed lizard with polka dots, she thinks to herself. One shape in particular makes Isha very happy. It reminds her of the day last summer when she and Papa picked a handful of lemons. She paints her shape the same bright yellow. All this hard work deserves a pause, Mama says. How about some fresh air? Sweat drips down from the top of her head to the tip of her chin. Mama misses Papa too. Outside, a summer breeze rustles through the neighborhood trees while the sun slowly sinks behind the buildings. Isha sits on the stoop and plays with her yellow shape. The whole neighborhood seems to be taking a pause, except for Mrs. Harrington from the flower market. She rides past with a backpack full of lavender. She waves at Isha as a sprig of lavender falls out of her backpack and floats down on the sidewalk. Isha wonders if Miss Harrington will notice the missing sprig when she gets home. And if she does, will she feel sad about it? As Isha sits on the stoop, she imagines so many things she could do with her shape. Maybe we'll go to the beach someday, Isha says to herself. The sound of the ocean hugging the shore as water cooled her toes would feel so good. The rumble of a skateboard interrupts Aisha's daydream. She looks down at her shape. It's less yellow now, like the color of a lemon that's lost its taste and not as soft. But that's okay, because now it makes music when Isha taps it with her fingers. Tap, 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 Isha taps her clay. Tap, tap, crack! Isha's shape has broken into many shapes on the ground. Each piece reflects the sadness she feels. Asia tries to think of ways to put the pieces back together. Tape wouldn't last very long, and glue always sticks to the wrong things. What Asia feels is hard to describe, like something that is too heavy to lift, like something that might last forever. The sunlight is fading and the breeze has stopped blowing through the trees. Aisha's eyes fill with tears as she looks down at all the broken pieces. "What happened?" asks Mama as she scoops Aisha up onto her lap. "I gave my shape so much time and patience, but now it's in pieces," Aisha says. "It's okay to feel sad about those broken pieces," Mama says. "There are times, many times, when we lose the things we love." Mama somehow knows that Aisha is feeling. "I never knew she could feel the same feelings," Aisha thinks, and hugs her Mama close. Together, they pick up the broken pieces and walk past the shapes on Mama's shelves, stepping over the last step where the cat purrs sound asleep. "You can't always fix what's broken, but you can always try," Mama says, as she pulls out a small box from under her bed. Inside are spindles of twine in different sizes, colors, and textures. Slowly, with patience and care, Mama and Aisha connect all the broken pieces together by looping twine around each one until there is only one piece left. "Maybe I can make it into something new tomorrow," Aisha thinks out loud. "What a wonderful idea," Mama says, gazing at Aisha with a warm smile. "Now let's wash up and see what we can come up with for dinner." The end.
We will now have a moment of meditation. As you sit and listen, begin to focus on your breath and on being here in this room together. Our presentation today is Flashbacks by Gene Kane, he, his, and it relates to our first UU principle, the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Born in Moscow in 1937, Gene lived in the Crimea. He fled to Vienna with his mother to never see family again. Afterwards, he wandered stateless until 1949, then became a U.S. citizen, received his Master's of Fine Arts at Syracuse University, and had a career as a practicing artist and art professor. We welcome Gene.
Good morning. About 2 months ago, Suzanne Gernant asked me if I would put up some artwork. And I immediately responded with yes, especially the work that you have here on the walls, because that has to do, all the work there has to do with social issues and dignity and humanity and compassion or not. And so I thought maybe I should bring that set out. Excuse me with my hearing aid. I made that set in the 1988-89, exhibited it in Vienna in 91. Did not have the greatest of reception, so I brought it home. And I've shared it a few times elsewhere, so this is another opportunity. I'm grateful to it. So that is Crimea, and right about there.
You can't hear.
Oh.
Can't hear.
Okay. Where the red dot is, right about there, that was our home. And it was called the Old Krim. Crimea was settled by Tatars originally, not Ukrainians and not Russians. But the Russians eventually took, in the 30s, they took Ukraine, they took Crimea, and they kicked out the Tatars and sent them to Siberia, millions of them. So let's go directly then to the art, and I'll tell you something about the way I work with art. I make references to nature, certain things in nature that, you know, strike me as interesting. I respond to things that take place in life, sometimes from a newspaper article, sometimes from an incident that I share from memories. You know, it's still there, and then I would refer to that. So in the foyer over there, I brought in three sculptures, three bronzes, because in my drawings that you have here, I made the sculpture, then I made the drawing and put it into what you see here. And so the black always refers to some part of the sculpture. And the landscapes, all the landscapes there except one, are in Austria, our summer place. And it was coincidentally about 2 miles or maybe less from the concentration camp Mauthausen. One of the worst, one of the first and one of the worst. And nobody came out of it alive. So I'll come back to that. So this is obelisk. And so you will see these motifs here. It was one of my first sculptures in bronze. I taught myself how to do these things. I like to work alone usually. So I developed a foundry and experimented and learned. And so this was a little model that's out there. What was a sawfish, but it's not. I always change something about that nature because I'm inventing at the same time as appreciating. So this gave me an indication to measure how efficient my metals will flow, how high, and so forth. And that is called an obelisk. And these prongs fascinated me because they were, on the one hand, they were nice and smooth and pointed and sensual, and very dangerous, like bullets and things like that. And so I will be using them. So we'll go to the next one, obelisk. This is where I'm using those pointed things. This is called departure. I just put it up a couple of days ago. This is called departure. This is a memory, for memory. My mother and I, she's 29, we have a paper suitcase that she schleps around with all our belongings. And so we leave the Crimea, I'm using those prongs now on the left and the right to form like a canopy, an architectural, a doorway, a nasty doorway, a painful doorway that we will all pass through sooner or later. For whatever reason, we're going to go through more than one, maybe. So I make an architectural reference there, but at the same time, it's the moment when I am pushed into the back of a truck, my mother comes in, and there's a canopy over the truck on the sides, the roof, but you can see outside. So I'm using that as a canopy, as an architecture, as a doorway, whatever. And this drawing I found on the sidewalk some years ago. And I thought, wow, it's a beautiful little drawing made by a 6 or 7 or 8 year old, and it's all by itself. So I picked it up, and I still have it. And so when I started to work on this these projects later on, the first one I used was that little drawing. So the landscape is by a child. I just make the arrangement. There's my grandfather. I don't know if you can see it from over there. It's a little like a hole in the shape of a figure. That's my grandfather. That's my mother. That's me. There's the bird. Departure. Out. Let's go to the next one. Now, it was a painful parting, very painful. You know, my mother was sobbing for till the day she died. Anyways, that was the drawing. So here's another piece that comes from nature, and that is a series of limbs. The upper leg, the femur, the tibia, and all that. But only the one leg right there, right? This makes a little bend. Well, I found that in nature, the wild parsnip has a nice movement in the stem. So I took several sections and made some arrangements. It suggested the lower limb in motion, walking, marching. There's the knee right there, lower leg, upper leg. And there's like two columns left and on the right. So left leg, right leg. I made that as a composition only from pure geometry. That's what I liked about it. But it also suggested human legs, so that's good. So I made several compositions of that motif. Okay, let's go on. Next. Then I put that motif into a drawing, and here we see, we'll call this, I call a line of march, it's kind of from German, but I call it maybe heel to toe. That's how we marched when I was in the military. Heel to toe, real close, tight. So this would be like 8, 9 soldiers marching. So I converted the sculpture drawing into something else. Okay, next. And this is the same idea, but there's an expansion. So when I work, I always work on several things, you know, a couple of variations at the same time. Maybe the next one will be even better, I don't know. So we'll go next one. Well, when we had that summer place in Austria near Mauthausen, there were many a night I couldn't sleep. I'd go down into the quarry and so forth. This is a small town that was eventually converted where the main industry became extermination of human beings. People who went in never came out. So this is a drawing that was told to me by one of the people where we lived those summers. A person, there was a parade in the township, and somebody was singing a song the song was actually forbidden. And so they arrested him and sent him down to the camp below. So what you're seeing is my interpretation. This person is looking back into that area here, because that is his home. It is the last view before he disappears. So the story there moved me. And the setting, of course, was very emotional. And every time, I've been this number of times. There's a quarry down there for granite. And granite's it's a quarry. And they dig for granite. They mine granite, they break it up and make it architectural use out of it. Well, the people who did the quarrying, they suffered tremendously because the quarry went down 180 steps, each one about this high up, about a 15-degree angle going up for half a mile. Well, when they carried the block, everybody had to carry a block of stone, and it was about 120 pounds. And by the time they got to the top, they were half dead, you know, and eventually they all perished there anyways. So this is true for this particular person. Next. This is the area is rural, and sometimes I observe that a farmer's plowing the field, and I have a collection of goats' skulls, pick them up here and there wandering. So the tractor's going this way, and suddenly the skull came into my mind, and it's going this way, and it's moving forward, and this is churning up the earth. What does it discover when it what comes out? Well, maybe remnants of human beings, bones, the remainder of some of the people who suffered. So that is based on that. This sculpture is out there, the little one, and as are the others. So that is about what you discover. By the way, what we discover is not only, I forgot to mention you, the timing, it's Ukraine that brought me to bring the work here. Ukraine, how it connects. I'm from Ukraine. What did they discover in Ukraine now? We see it in the news. Mass graves, right? And they discover victims. All kinds of position, situations, condition, so forth. So next one, please. These are the things you might discover. This represents a pair of legs bound at the ankles. The bones is the remainder. It just suggests that. That's what that plow might discover, or we with our shovels discover and look. We're discovering that about Native Americans and how they suffered here, too. Let's go to the next one. Oh, it was just so often I noticed in Austria, wandering around in nature, in the woods, in parks, there'd be these big gates with fence left and right for a while. And I always said, Eintritt verboten, entrance forbidden. Well, forbidden is an expression that only the government can use. So these are areas forbidden. I wouldn't know any idea why. It's all woods all around, but something for some reason it's forbidden. I saw so many of these things that I wondered about, and so I interpreted here. I noticed that it's kind of in the form of a cross. The cross appears several times. I modified it a little, and that cross is not straight. It's a little crooked here and there, a little curve to suggest the human figure. There's a little movement there. The arms go slightly up, not like this, like a fence. So it's a fencing. What does it do? What does that mean? Are we allowed to get to the other side? Is it possible to get to the other side? Are they coming this way? The same problem as we have, as we have in the southern border with who's keeping whom in or out, and why. So next one. During the war years, we spent some time in Vienna, a lot of parts in that general area. But in Vienna, I was a number of months, maybe a half a year, maybe a year. I wasn't aware of the calendar so much. But I was there during a period when there was saturation bombing. Any day, any night, sometimes right in a row. Sometimes so many airplanes came that the sound would go on for an hour, 2 hours. The airplane, the motors, you could hear them from miles away and it would last and it'd be forever. And we're in the basement somewhere, if there's such a thing as a bomb shelter. But many a times, something come crumbling down. A lot of fires. Skies turn red from fire, just like in California. Those forest fires, just as red as that, hot as that. That's the beginning of this series. Okay, so the fire represents the dangerous, super dangerous element, extinguishing anything, burning everything. We see up above, is a diagonal movement with suggesting codes, computer codes, but it isn't a code. I kind of made it up, but what I'm talking about is in the, I guess maybe even the 70s, they developed through technology and so forth, things like smart bombs, clean bombs. So that's when I first saw this misuse, and that's what that, it's this one was done later, but at that time when I made this, there was a war just started in Bosnia, Herzegovina, and Sarajevo, and the Serbians surrounded Sarajevo and bombarded it. While I was making drawings, these news could come on, and the news infiltrated my, you know, so it's that reference. Now, Serbs are Orthodox. I'm an Orthodox. We have the Sixth Commandment, just like that. Many other Christians have. We have the Sixth Commandment. We have other regulations or suggestions of human behavior, but we'd kind of select and pick. Well, to me, shooting another human being is like shooting Christ. That's what I'm saying here. So he's upside down. That's the disrespect. He's in the circle over and over. That's the target at the end of a telescope. Then you see my other element there with the barbs. And so the fire is this. Sarajevo was under siege for 1,500 days with no help. I don't know. A little later, of course, the NATO came in and started to bomb the Serbs. So another bad solution, you know, using violence. So let's go to the next one. Okay, this is a direct expression, kind of, in this pastoral landscape. For me, this is my ideal. Let's say at the time, I loved the landscape because I loved the people that I met, you know. And so it was like, in a way, like a paradise for me. And on the other hand, that memory of the Vienna, when the whole sky is all bright red, was also in my memory. So I use them both and continue with that target. So that's that one. Let's go to the next one. Next. Well, let's see. This is called September 1, 97. Russia at that time, and until quite a way, to 1953, was a communist nation. This was unjust. Russia is communist and being led by Stalin at the time, and 37 is the year of my birth. Well, in 37, they took away over 1 million people and either killed them outright or sent them to Siberia. And this was, but it began in 1930 or so. These purges, these cleansings. It was going on until every citizen was affected, somebody. Every family lost somebody. Either they were arrested, killed, or sent to the gulag. You remember Gulag Archipelago? Solzhenitsyn wrote 3 volumes about that. Well, millions disappeared suddenly. Many of the Ukrainians perished there, many. The Tatars were sent over there. Every minority, homosexuals, Jews, you name it, that's cleansing. Due to, you know, extreme paranoia on Stalin's part. So on September 1, late into the night, the doors, pounding on the doors, two guys burst in. My mother's 28, 29. Pregnant, she will give birth a week after this. So two men burst in. Where is he? They find a male figure. They handcuff him and drag him out like a sack of meat. And that's it. And he vanished. Well, that happened to be my Jewish father, Jacob. My son is named after Jacob. So I wondered, you know, there were millions of others, but I could only like wonder about my own father. So what was he? Not so much what he was, but how did he suffer? I'm literally trying to tell you, he mistreated. That's why I'm using the blue. In fact, now I call it black and blue. So I'm using, again, those gates, front gates, those missile bullet-shaped things as tell you aggressiveness. Blues are for pain. And so I'm picturing my whoever that figure was being mistreated, tortured, or destruction, complete destruction. So that's what that is about. That's taking place in Ukraine right now, every day. Next. And this is a variation of, as I said, in the series, and I explained, well, how can I make it visually a little more interesting? You try this, you try that. Well, in this case, I used white as against black, two opposites. But later I thought, am I misstating something here? I'm the unknown figure that I'm concerned. That's my father, whoever, whatever. But I'm only playing with the colored barbs just for the interest. But now I see, maybe, am I talking about the problem that we're having, white people, black people? Is that what am I talking? No, I'm not. I wasn't thinking about it at all. But maybe it's turning out that way. I don't like that. I know. So the suggestion bothers me a little bit. And then we'll go to the next one. I love to get ideas from nature. We had it at the studio in Europe, in Austria, where I was doing this metal work. We planted a little sakura tree. It got to be about 3 feet or so. And one day it came to the studio and it was broken in half. And so I said, well, I will make it. I'll try to continue its existence, but now in a sculpture. So I did a number of sculptures of trees like that. This one you see a little curve, more obvious as before, suggesting the human figure in the tree from a series. Again, that is that landscape where the person behind the barbed wire looking out at his home. It's in that area there. But that gives me hope. So love, for instance, the greatest joy is you see a little beginning of a plant of some sort coming in between a crack in cement or something like that, or out of a piece of granite, a tree comes out. I love that. A log is cut. The log is out in the woods over winter. You come by in the spring, you see a little shoot coming out of that log. You know, I think it's just such a beautiful thing. So let's go to the next one. And I had a friend who was a Turkish stonemason. He said, one tree, because he saw my drawing, he said, what we have in Turkey, one tree supports the whole world. I said, wow, what a statement. Is he talking about the oxygen we're getting from the jungle, you know, from the trees, all this stuff? How, from one tree. So I love that metaphor there. And so I use it a number of times. So there we have that landscape again, so that, like, it's holding up the whole world. That's all in the picture. I thought they'd be sensitive more, like, around. I want to read you something that I heard right here in this very sanctuary. It's a little portion of a poem by Rebecca Parker that Matt Aspen brought it to one of our services here just a month ago or two. So by Rebecca Parker, "Choose to Bless the World." I have to use this though. "Your gifts, whatever you discover them to be, can be used to bless or curse the world. The mind's power, the strength of the hands, the reaches of the heart, the gift of speaking, listening, imagining, seeing, waiting, any of these can serve to feed the hungry, bind up the wounds, welcome the stranger, praise what is sacred, do the work of justice, or offer love. I thought it was a beautiful little thing. Thank you very much.
Stay here because we can answer questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you, Jane, so much. Now is the time that our community dedicates to discussion around the focus of today's service, relying upon our covenant of good relations as a guide to ensure that all voices are welcomed and relationships are valued. If you are in the room and feel comfortable, please come up to the podium so those on Zoom can see who is speaking. Also, introducing yourself with your name and pronouns is welcomed. If waiting, you can line up on either side aisle. Otherwise, please raise your hand and one of our helpers will bring a microphone to you. If you are online, please type into the chat and the Zoom helper will read the question or comment aloud for you. And Nancy is back there with the microphone if you need it. And anyone is welcome to come up.
Thank you so much, Jane. And I wanted to ask you first to talk a little bit about how the process of taking these memories and feelings and putting them into art, whether that involves release or suffering, or I just want to understand a little bit about how that process works for you.
That's great. And on this particular case, the memories, they come, I call it flashback, because now and then something snaps and I have an image in my mind. Something happens. Oh, it could be a sound. Oh, I'll give an example. To this day, when I hear two-engine airplanes fly over, it always reminds me, especially if they get a little loud and not too far from you. As soon as I hear those two engines, I remember Vienna being bombed. I remember the fire. So that's one example. I think some of these things, they keep coming and coming, and then sometimes they just go away. But I don't know. Sometimes it's like you got a stone on your back, you know, you can't get rid of it. But it gives me, I think the drawings helped me, to be honest with you. Now, after I've done the draw, I've been back several times, and I'm pretty comfortable. I think the drawings help to purge to some degree. But it's also rewarding that I put it down, and now I'm trying to make it, if the message is not good, at least I'll try to make it as interesting as I can, you know. In other words, the message might be not good for me, and maybe I don't want to dwell on my memories and plague the viewer all the time with my biography. I don't want that either, you know. But it does help me a little bit, sure. I think I was under a lot of stress when I was doing this thing. I know I was smoking a lot. And there were long drawings. But I think it helped me. Otherwise, especially working on paper, it's easier. So there was a time when I couldn't do three-dimensional work here. I did it on paper, but working on paper was a struggle because I like to work with more physical, you know, metals, metal, clay, that kind of stuff. So, it works like a release for me.
Hello, everyone. I'm Andy, he, him, his. I notice in your artwork, you're always on one side of the fence and you're looking over it at pleasure and freedom and nature. Have you ever crossed that fence yourself personally in your life and felt like you were on the positive side?
Actually, I'm on the positive side right now. Yes. It has come out as a positive, considering like where we were, how it was, how lucky we were to have even survived. A thousand reasons to have died, but we somehow made it, came here and established a life and had fun doing, working, and you know, having a wonderful wife, family, all that. Yeah, it's the other side, all right. But the other side exists too for other people. For other people. The lucky ones can tell you something of a story. The others can't. I don't know if that was of help at all, but, or am I just fumbling?
I have a message from Reverend Matt on Zoom. He would like to ask if you remember your elders talking about what they've learned after all they saw, and if so, what was the primary lesson these ancestors would pass forward to us today?
That's an easy one.
Well, don't repeat those mistakes. Try to find a way out. There's this war in Ukraine. Maybe if they sat down and talked a little more, maybe it would have gone another way. Well, we come over, you come into these problems, these conflicts, and we lose patience quickly. I mean, there's been a war going every year of my life here. Not here, just as long as I'm alive. It's been a war going somewhere. So I don't think that they need to find a different way. And what was the other thing Matt asked? What was the big lessons, biggest lessons? Oh, biggest what? Hurdles? Oh, yeah, I think they would have sent us a message that they love us. I think so.
The images that you drew of your father with the bars coming out on this side, and the edges are kind of fuzzy. And my first impression before you told us exactly what that was, or what how you saw it, was that the bars, because of the torture thing, that the bars were electrified, and the reason that it was fuzzy around the edges was, you know how they always show somebody being electrocuted, and you know, I was sitting there being horrified and thinking, here's somebody being toasted alive. So I thought I'd tell you that was my impression.
Thank you. I like that, and it makes good sense.
And
But I didn't think of it then. I didn't see it. What I was trying to convey, because I don't know that person, I never met that person who was supposed to be my father, I didn't want to give it a definite edge. I wanted just to suggest. And yes, those are a dangerous thing. They're aggressive. And maybe it was, you know, belongs to that. But I wanted that ambiguity and that softness and not concrete, not that heavy. By the way, I remember not too long ago, dawned on me that in the museum in Salzburg, Austria, there's a museum in a castle. Yes, museum is in the castle up there. And I went through it once when I was about 9 years old or something. There is a device of some sort that with prongs like that that was actually used to mistreat other people hundreds of years ago. And the other thing that comes to mind, I think Edgar Allan Poe wrote some crazy stories, and I think he's got a story where things move in and give you this idea of being squished, you know. It's a mental horror, you know. But anyways, thank you. But it makes good sense, yes. It's
very quickly, you talked about your life being very good and you're being very lucky. And I was thinking that with all the fences there, you know, there are two sides to a fence, and there are people inside looking out and people outside looking in. And it's like you were both. When you were in the old country, you were not, you hadn't escaped yet.
Right.
So you were, in a sense, even though you hadn't weren't in prison,
sure,
you were still on the outside looking in and scared.
Yeah,
you know, and then now you've got your place, and you know who you are, and other people know who you are. So it's the other side of the fence.
Yes, yes.
I think we have time for one more question. John?
Good morning. My name is John Grenat. Him and him, I guess. I was talking to my wife the other night. We're both artists. And forever you're thinking, well, what is art? What is art? What is art? Art isn't making something beautiful or struggling to make something beautiful. Art's an expression. It's an expression of what you hear, what you see, what you do, what you feel. And I just wanted to tell you, Gene, you hit it right on the head, because you took expression and made it into something beautiful.
Thank you, John. Thank you very much. Thanks for allowing me to share my work with you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We are going to share our offering this quarter with Porch Lights Digs program, which provides eviction prevention counseling and financial assistance to households facing eviction. In 2021, Digs counseled 1,007 households and gave financial assistance to 660 households in danger of eviction. The offertory is Pavane by Four, performed by Amber. Thank you. Thank you, Amber. Our closing words are by Ma Teresa Tet Gustilo Gallardo, and they will be read by Pajin.
We cast not our eyes below. We say to ourselves, we are how we came, wounded from struggles, triumphant in our survival, entitled by birthright to belong to this, the only humankind there is, saying, I am included. I belong. I am here. And I will be and do. I will breathe joy into desolation. I will breathe peace into conflict. I will breathe life into destruction. I will be the earth I wish to see. I am growth and hope and glee.
Our closing music is SLJ number 1057, Go Lift It Up, with a repeat, accompanied by Amber. This is in the smaller teal hand hymnal. Please stand as you are able. At this time, we are stopping the recording. As a caring community, we now take time